God is God, and he will have his way, he will do his thing. And we have to trust him. And we're going to look at the God, our Redeemer. Last week, in first 11 chapters of Genesis, we looked at the God of creation. Today we're going to be looking at the God of redemption through these amazing three men, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And we're going to go, good old Terry, he managed to get through 11 chapters of Genesis in 3/4 of an hour. I've got about 20 minutes to do 22 chapters, so we're going to go quite fast. Just a few things about when you come to read the Bible, names are important. We have a lot to do with Korean people, and very often when they become Christians, they choose a Christian name that is actually a reflection of who they are and who they aspire to. And so we have Abraham, as he started, it means exalted father. He became father of many nations. And to some extent it's a bit of a joke, because actually that was after Ishmael was born. But in many ways, God put a bit of his name, the He bit of his name, Yahweh, into Abraham. Abraham, and he became Abraham. And he did a similar thing for Sarah. Sarai became Sarah, princess of multitudes. And again, a bit of a laugh, really, because both Abraham and Sarah laughed when God told them that they, in their as centenarians, were going to have children and have a child, and they laughed, and that was a constant reminder. And then we've got Jacob, the supplanter, the grabber, the trickster, the wide boy. But Abraham is the father of our faith, and this particular verse here I think is particularly pertinent for today. We see Abraham, who is the father of us all. But look what it says right at the end. He believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. And that's our faith. He's a God who gives life to the dead. And that's who we trust in. That's who Abraham trusted in. And as Abraham is our father, we have an inheritance. And all the blessings of Abraham are ours in Christ Jesus, so that we can enjoy. So this is why it's so good that we study and look at this character, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, because they are the foundations. A lot of people find, oh well, I don't so much like the Old Testament. I like the New Testament because that's got Jesus in. But Jesus is in the whole lot. It's one book. And the similarity between Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22 is stunning. You look it up sometime. Anyway, Abraham is the father of our faith, and he has his journey. And gradually, God increases the ante and his expectations, because God has chosen to bring about redemption through human beings. God has always wanted to use human agencies. God has always wanted to be with men. It's God who changes geographic location at the end of time. The dwelling place of God is with men. I'll sing along if you like. No, I won't, sorry. Yeah, and here we have, God speaks, Abraham obeys. God appears, Abraham sees. God promises, Abraham believes. Abraham plays God and gets into a mess, and so we've got Ishmael. Abraham laughs, God promises, God still promises. Sarah laughs, God promises. Abraham intercedes. That wonderful relationship that God and Abraham had, that he could do a prayer which was just like a Dutch auction. How about 50? Will you go? 40. How about 30 then? 20 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah. As it was, there weren't any, but he did get rescued Lot. And then Abraham wandered, he gets into a bit of a mess again, but God is faithful. And then we had this real test of faith in the last three. God describes, he tells him the place to go where he's going to sacrifice Isaac. He doesn't show him. There's a difference. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of God. And this is the test of faith to start. And then God tests him and tells him to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham commits himself. And God, in response to Abraham's commitment, says, I will provide. He provides, in that instance, a lamb, a ram caught in the thicket. But he commits himself. You have not withheld your son, therefore I won't withhold mine. This is why it's so fundamental that we understand these things, the whole scope of God's redemptive plan. It starts with Abraham. But it's established in Isaac. Now, I've always looked on Isaac as a bit of an insipid Tesco's value jam in the middle of a, you know, decent sandwich. You know what I mean? A bit wimpy and stuff like that. But God says, I will establish my covenant with Isaac, with him, for an everlasting covenant. My covenant I will establish in Isaac. I'm going to bless Ishmael. Don't worry about Ishmael. He'll be all right. But my covenant will be with Isaac. And this is Isaac's journey. And I thought, well, what is it about Isaac that he still gets into the role of honour? Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. What is it about him? And I think it's in the first thing. He had an amazing submissive attitude. Because I know sometimes in, you know, Bibles they have a picture of Abraham sacrificing Isaac like he's a little baby. But he was not. He obviously had some strength there because he had to carry the wood and, you know, he went on and he talked with Abraham. And I just wonder what he said. Well, yeah, actually, you're it. You know, where is God will provide? Well, you're it. You're the sacrifice. But, you see, however old he was, Abraham was 100 years older than him. So even if he's only a teenager, and I can see some teenagers here that I wouldn't like to go into a fight with, and I'm only 64, what if I'm like if I'm 100? But this Isaac submitted, I believe he probably could have been around the age of 30. Which is an amazing coincidence because it was the same place as where Jesus himself gave his life. That was the Holy Spirit leaving her. So, but this man, Isaac, and he's, somebody finds him a wife, he's comforted, God speaks, and Isaac obeys. And he reopens, he re-digs open the wells that Abraham had dug, and then he digs his own. And then he's a man of peace. He brings peace. Yes, to some extent, when our weaknesses and our strengths are very allied to each other. So a man of peace become passive. And there's an element of passivity about Isaac. But I don't want us to think about his passivity. I want us to think about his submission. Submission. And then when it comes to the story of blessing Jacob and Jacob is deceiving him, I just wonder just how much Isaac really did or didn't know what was going on. How much was he deceived? I don't know. It said he was old, he's getting blind, but he lived a lot, tens of years after that event. So he wasn't that old and doddery. And yet, was he going on what had been said about Jacob and thinking, ah, oh, I see. Oh, this is how it's going to work out, is it? And just submitting to what was the will of God. Because it's funny, isn't it, how opposites attract. And Isaac, the man of peace, the homemaker, the establisher, he rather liked what Esau was doing. You know, he liked, you know, the happy-go-lucky, you know, sort of guy that he wasn't. He was a deep-thinking man. He'd had this amazing experience of seeing God when he was just a young man. And he sends Jacob away with his blessing. He's know what's gone on. And I just wonder how much he just went along with the play, because he knew that God's hand was on Jacob. So Jacob, look at Jacob, he's the expander. Lord said to her, that's Jacob's mother, Rebecca, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be born from you. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That was the promise. And so it expands. There's the 12 tribes of Israel. They're 12 sons of Jacob. You know, when Abraham had one, Isaac had two, Jacob 12. This is expansion. And if you look at the number of times Abraham's mentioned, he's in the Bible, he's mentioned, there's a quick guy on my sword searcher. Abraham 230 times, Isaac 123, Jacob 345 times. Now, Jacob is a difficult character to understand. This was his journey. He acquired the birthright. He obtains, and by doing that, obtains a double blessing. He encounters God. God is on his case. He marries, he prospers, he returns, he wrestles with God. And he comes up with this, it's amazing when he's preparing to meet up with Ishmael, Esau again, to see, and he's wanting to sort of go, send all the goodies ahead so that, to bring, please Esau. And then he meets up with God and he wrestles. And he's still grabbing, he's still, and God says, what's your name? And he says, I'm living this Jacob life. I am a grabber. I am the trickster. I'm the wide boy. And God says, I'll give you a new name. But there's something in that Jacob, in that grabbing, because he wanted what God had for him. He had this right sense of priorities, which Esau didn't have. Him, Esau said, I'm dying, I've got to have some of your soup. Right, give me your birthright. He's got no sense of priorities, but Jacob knew where the action was. And he did reconcile with Esau, but he was given this new name, Israel, Prince with God. And I believe that, you know, God entered into an eternal covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And it's about a nation, and it's about some land, which is the Holy Land, which is holy for God. And I believe that God has not finished with that nation and that land. I don't know if anybody saw the Louis Theroux program this week with the ultra-Zionists. Oh boy, has God got a mess to sort out? But I believe he will. I don't know how. Because I think a lot of what the nation of Israel does is pretty Jacobean. There's a lot of Jacob in there. And it's not humbled before God to receive really their calling of Israel. But we will see. So the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, he dealt with flawed people. Last June or July, was it? We acquired a new car, which is great. And I thought, oh, I hope it's not me put the first dent in it. But I opened the car door on our drive, and the wind caught it, and it swung up and hit the hinge on our metal gate. And there was a little dent under the door handle. Didn't go through the paint. It was just a little dent. But for a few days, I couldn't look at the car. Because every time I looked at that car, my eyes sort of zoomed in on that dent. And God said to me, "That's how you think I look at you." I just see the dent. I'm not like that. And that's how God was with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He knew they were flawed. He knew their strengths had gone into weakness. But he dealt with them and he kept them. But they responded to him. God is not looking for perfect people. He says, "I'm the perfecter. I'll make you perfect. I'm looking for people who respond to me." And these were, and they had their heart after God's purposes. And they were men in whom God would invest. What are you? What are you? What is your name? Are you an Abraham? Are you an apostle? Abraham's an apostle. He was sent. Sent by God. Sent one to lay foundations. Are you an Isaac? Are you a pastor, an establisher of a work of God? Well, sometimes we do some things in season, and out of season we did something else. Are you Jacob, the expander, the evangelist, the church planter, the breakout person that God's looking for? Remember, he's not looking for looking at your weaknesses. He's looking if you'll respond to what he's doing in you. But I just couldn't get this phrase, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, out of my head. And I began to think, you see, man is made in God's image. And as we look at these heroes of faith, heroes, foundation people in God's redemptive purposes, we see God in them. So we see Abraham as the father and the author of life. We see Isaac, the son, the man of peace. I think submissive to death. Can you imagine this scene with Abraham about to sacrifice Isaac? And words from Isaiah come to my mind. As a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he didn't open his mouth. And I think we can see in Isaac that man of peace. Jesus is our peace. The Son. The Spirit goes where he wills, breaks new ground. He expands. The church burst into life when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. And they went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And this Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are like a human trinity that expresses the trinity that is God. And this is why it's so foundational in our belief and in our understanding of God that we look at this. And again, one of the things it says in Romans, it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Yeah, Isaac, the man of peace. Jesus is our peace. Holy Spirit. Jacob seems to me the one who had most fun. And God wants us to have fun in his kingdom. What did Jesus say about these guys? He was talking, they were talking about resurrection from the dead, appropriate again for this morning. And the Sadducees, who didn't believe in it, And he says, have you not read the book of Moses? How in the bush God spoke to him, saying, I'm the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's the God of the living. And Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive today in the presence of God. Think about it. And here's a promise. Those who are mission-minded. Right. Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's our promise. Sitting down. You know, it'd be good, you know, if we study these guys so we have something to talk about when we actually meet up with them. You know, it's awful. You go to the pastor, and what do you do? Well, he said, be able to know. We can ask more questions. Now, Isaac, did you realise what was going on? And Jacob, how did you cope with all those wives? And all those sort of things that we can find out now as we sit down. Many shall come from the east and west and sit down, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I'm looking forward to that. But for now, with these guys, as we study these scriptures, we see God's plan of redemption begins through a man, through a nation, through a land, through the whole earth, that the knowledge of the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that's where it starts. Amen.